My name is David Hanscom. I am an orthopedic spine surgeon. I quit my practice about 2 years ago to teach people how to solve chronic pain. And I've written two books. One is called Back in Control. It's a self-directed process that we've watched hundreds of patients go to pain-free with simple self-directed processes. Also wrote another book called Do You Really Need Spine Surgery? And the reason why I quit my practice, I was seeing so many people being harmed by spine surgery and getting better with minimal resources that I finally decided to do what I could do to change the course of spine surgery.
Thank you very much again for making yourself available, Dr. Hanscom. You stopped being an orthopedic surgeon to concentrate on your way of addressing pain. And your method, the DOC journey, it stands for Direct Your Own Care, is very similar to the Plan A that you've created and is available free on your website. And it's all about right. the relation that anxiety has to pain. You survived COVID last March, and now I understand your 94-year-old father just tested positive, and he's in a nursing home, what, 3,000 miles away? How is he doing?
Right. He did fine. He recovered just fine. He's actually essentially asymptomatic. But he's been on the medications. Vitamin D is really critical. Magnesium helps vitamin D function. Zinc is critical. And what happened, we found out that to solve chronic pain, it turns out we came up with a plan for COVID using the same ideas. Of course, it happens much faster with COVID, but it's still a layered approach to prevent from getting sick. Most people that die from COVID have pre-existing conditions. Almost every one of them is solvable and preventable.
You mean that comorbidities, existing conditions are preventable?
Right. And what's happened in medicine, we've been on an illness model for a long time. Burden of chronic disease is about $3 trillion a year right now, 20% of our gross national product. By treating just symptoms, we're not solving the problem, and the population is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So then when COVID comes along, it's the people with those pre-existing preventable conditions that are getting sick and dying. And the Plan A is a plan that's got 12 steps to lower inflammatory markers. Turns out that all chronic disease, whether it's mental or physical, is connected with inflammatory markers.
Let's talk about inflammation for a moment before we go on. What causes inflammation in the body?
Any threat, whether it's physical or mental, is met with a response from the body to survive. So your heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up, but also your immune system fires up. So when your immune system fires up, it throws off what's called inflammatory cytokines that fire up the immune system and fire up inflammation. It's necessary. You have inflammation in your body every day to fight off viruses and bacteria and cancer cells. But what happens in COVID, if your inflammatory markers are already elevated, then you'll cross that threshold into a high mortality. The tragedy with chronic disease, whether it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cardiac disease, diabetes, anxiety, depression, bipolar, all of those are inflammatory disorders. Because what happens under sustained threat or stress, your body stays fired up. So with prolonged sustained threat, people get sick and they develop serious diseases. The environment is translated into physical symptoms.
Listening to what you are saying, this past year, many of us have been in this heightened state of anxiety and tension.
Right. One of the things that's not well known, and I honestly did not know this myself, is that anxiety is a result of a threat, not the cause. Humans have a problem called language, so thoughts and emotions create the same threat as a physical threat. But the problem is that you cannot escape your thoughts or emotions. But what's even worse is that repressed thoughts and emotions are a bigger threat than expressed thoughts and emotions. So every human being has a certain level of threat all the time. And so what the solution is, there's ways to process threat in a way to minimize the impact on the body. There's also ways of increasing the resilience of your nervous system. So it's the interaction between your stresses and your coping skills that causes disease.
Got it.
Sustained overload to your coping skills, you're going to get sick. And the data really has shown that for decades.
Not only do you have to control that with yourself, but a lot of times if your partner or somebody in your bubble during this pandemic is angry or anxious, that just exacerbates the problem, doesn't it?
A huge part of our process are the family issues. Lack of social connection causes disease. It's equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day by being socially isolated. But at the same time, your family is your deepest triggers. Anytime you're anxious or angry, you've been triggered by something in the present that resembles something unpleasant in the past. So it's a paradox that we need human connections. The deeper, the better, but the deeper, the stronger the triggers.
How do you process your anxiety?
Well, first of all, there's the state of your nervous system. So, for instance, lack of exercise inflames the nervous system. Inflammatory diets are a problem. So things that you can do that are simple is an anti-inflammatory diet, exercise, sleep is huge. Lack of sleep is very inflammatory. And then a lot of people in chronic pain have childhood trauma that you can't fix or solve, but there's ways of processing it that make a big difference. It's meditation, relaxation, acupuncture, all those things calm down the nervous system. So there's very specific ways that you can calm down your nervous system because anxiety, again, is physiological. In other words, it's the body's chemical state. It is not psychological. So we keep treating anxiety as a psychological construct where it's a response to the environment. The unconscious brain processes 40 million bits of information per second. The conscious brain processes 40. So anxiety is necessary. It's powerful. It's not going to go away. You're not going to master it. But what you're going to do is develop a working relationship with it.
Expressive writing is something that you told us about years ago, and I've found it personally to be quite helpful. Describe expressive writing as an outlet for anxiety and more.
There's an exercise where you simply write down your thoughts. You cannot escape your thoughts or your consciousness, but you can separate from it. So the paper's on the table, you're here, that space is connected with vision and feel. So for some reason, it's extraordinarily powerful. There's over 1,000 research papers that documents that it works. And I'm still a little cynical about it, except it's what pulled me out of the hole. It's pulled every patient that's gotten better, starts with expressive writing every time. It's the one part of the project that is mandatory.
Describe how you would do it. Let's say you get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to do expressive writing. What would you actually do?
I did it this morning. I just sat down for about 10 minutes and just wrote thoughts. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter. And the reason why you tear them up is to write with freedom, because you don't want to censor them or filter them. They're just thoughts. And then the reason you tear them up is that you don't want to analyze them because they're just thoughts. So I spent 10 minutes, wrote down some thoughts, tore them up, done.
Ripping it up is great. I don't know why. It's sort of like the coda, and it unloads the brain rather than loading the brain.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what's ironic is that the more of a conscientious person you are, the more of a problem you're going to have with unpleasant thoughts. Because people that are sort of sociopathic don't suppress thoughts. It's the suppressing of thoughts that gives them the power. It's very paradoxical. So by writing down the thoughts that you would normally suppress, somehow releases them.
Many people have problems with something so quote-unquote simple actually working. And we don't know.
I'm always fascinated when people come in. They come in pain-free. They're excited. They're feeling better. Anxiety is way down. And we don't know why it's so powerful, but it actually increases wound healing. It decreases viral load. It improves liver function and kidney function. There's something to do with that writing exercises that changes the body's chemistry.
A lot of people fight the thought of doing expressive writing. Number one, it's too simple. How can it work?
Right.
But what do you have to lose? Right. That's what I always ask. What do you have to lose? Why not try it for a few weeks and see?
I will also tell you something. I developed a new process called the DOC journey, the DOC journey, which is called Direct Your Own Care Journey. So it's more of a straight line pathway out of chronic pain. But where I tell people to start is embrace your disbelief. You don't have to believe one thing that I said. In fact, I prefer that you don't, because you've tried everything. Nothing's worked. Everybody's promising you a cure. Why would this work? So connecting with what is really critical. What doesn't work is positive thinking, which is a way of suppressing negative thinking. But a positive outlook and vision is critical. But there's not a reason in the world that you should believe David Hanscom or the Doc Journey or anything, because guess what? You've been bounced around. Nobody believes you. You've lost hope. Of course, your anxiety is through the ceiling. And then your brain's inflamed. And when your brain's inflamed, it changes the blood supply. You can't even think clearly.
How long do you suppose expressive writing would take to start working for people?
Well, I mean, usually within 2 weeks, there's a shift of some sort. And almost everybody, I can tell within about 30 seconds if a patient of mine had been doing their writing or not. They'll try to lie about it, but I can tell. There's just something different about it, that they have a shift right away when they start their writing. So, yeah, just don't have to believe me. Just write down your thoughts. You know, Dr. Hanscom doesn't know what he's talking about. This isn't going to work. Those are all great thoughts to write down because they're real. So So again, it's the suppression of thought is what creates these monsters in our brain.
That's huge. I especially like the one where Dr. Hanscom doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. No, absolutely. Because, I mean, here's my, I wrote a website post called Your Demons Are Really Robots. In other words, these demons that we carry around with us and we try to solve and fix, they're actually who we're not, right? Because we don't suppress pleasant thoughts. We get these massive thought patterns that are really disturbing, but they're actually who we are not.
Can you also explain, this is all part and parcel of when we started talking about COVID, why is it important to take vitamin D and magnesium? And you also mentioned vitamin C.
Well, there's a bunch of things you can do to keep your inflammation down, like the writing relaxation. But what vitamin D is a hormone, not really a vitamin, is actually the molecule that helps physically destroy the virus. The magnesium is the ion that helps transport it back and forth across the cell membrane into the cell. So vitamin D and magnesium work together. Then what zinc is, you have zinc in the middle of many proteins. So that's why what happens with older people, I don't think age is the issue as much as the fact that 70% of older people have a zinc deficiency. Or, for instance, vitamin D is the number one deficiency in the world. Anybody that's north of the equator doesn't get enough vitamin D because the sun has to hit your skin at 90 degrees. And from November to March, people in the U.S. cannot make vitamin D, cannot do it.
What about prescription vitamin D?
We don't need prescription, just over-the-counter. Over-the-counter vitamin D is a treatment of choice, and the recommended average dose is about 1,000 international units a day. 5,000 units a day probably is safe and probably required. If you get exposed, you probably should crank it up to 10,000 units a day. But vitamin D has been shown a pretty big association between adequate vitamin D and decreased mortality.
Wow.
Quite a bit. It's actually quite dramatic. It's actually not subtle.
I don't think that is publicized enough.
I mean, here's my point with Plan A. It is a call to action for the American medical system to go to a wellness model. All of these chronic diseases are completely preventable because they're all inflammatory. So if you start working on inflammatory markers early on in your life, you first of all don't have to have the disease. Second of all, many of these chronic diseases are actually reversible. So if you drop down your inflammatory markers, if you do get sick, the chance of actually going above that critical threshold. Remember, it's the inflammation that kills people.
Yes.
In other words, you have high inflammation, it floods your lungs out, and you can't breathe. If you start with lower markers to begin with, in other words, you're healthier, the chances of surviving go up dramatically. I mean, my father's 94. He has heart disease. He has lung disease. He has diabetes. He survived. He took vitamin D, zinc, and magnesium. And I'm not saying this is a magic thing. I'm not one to say, look, this is the absolute answer for everybody. But what Plan A is a call to wellness.
Thank you so much. Anything you just want to throw in at the end or add before we conclude?
I would really ask people to circulate this Plan A to their friends and neighbors. Because my goal is I would like to really start a grassroots movement for the public demand that their doctors take care of them and to move into a wellness model, increase your quality of life. It's not that hard to do. That's my wish, is to get this Plan A out to as many people absolutely as possible.
Well, I'll do my part.
Honestly, what we're doing, we're really paying the price for sticking with this illness model. So we have so much illness, of course, so it's really a problem. I'm just doing the best I can do to get this out in the real world. But I did, I actually quit my practice to do this. People's lives are being destroyed very rapidly by spine surgery. There's now over 1 million spine cases done a year, with at least over half of those not being necessary at all. And the downside of a failed spine surgery is horrible. We're very efficiently disabling our society.